Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to your place. Tonight our show is going to be Are You Really Living for God in Your Words and Deeds? Wild Bill's going to chat with us on a sermon he recently preached. He wonders if he is the only one that reads the Bible and looks at where people of faith stand in the balance. Bill will tell you that life will hit you where you live with no warning at all. But when this happens, do you stop and think, I need to thank God for this storm? Most people fall into a couple of categories when life hits them between the eyes. Some become like a deer with locked vision on the headlights of the vehicle that's about to hit them. They figure that their performance of life, their performance in living for God, has fallen short and don't know which direction to go, so they just freeze. They mentally lock into a fetal position, waiting for someone to come and rescue them. And we all know that you cannot sit still in living for God. Many of these people quit church and or fall back into the bad habits of their past life. There are others that when pushed, they push back. They use everything and everybody in their life to overcome the situation. Unfortunately, in this process, many of these people forget to make God part of that process. They may still speak of God, but do not allow Him in the process. It never fails that when we try to find our own way without God, that we end up failing our test. We know that everybody doesn't fall into these categories, thank God, but tonight we want to talk about the unexpected things that suddenly appear. Wild Bill likes music to try to reach people, so take a moment as we play these songs to reflect about your relationship with during the test of life that has hit you really hard. We think this will help all of us get on the same page, and you may find your answer while in this process. Jesus is aware of everything in your life, so trust Him.
Yeah.
in my face, and struggle steal my breath away. With my back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, you're strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the
I'm we hope that we'll actually get to hear from some of you at the end of the show. I know that most of our listens come from the archives, and we do appreciate you taking advantage of being able to download these shows to any smart device, and I hope that you share these with other people. You know, one of the things in living for God that, I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems like that we can sort of go through the motions. We can give lip service to things, and we don't really stop to think about what things we say really mean. For an example, how many times have you felt like you just got this awful burden on you, and you've heard all the songs, you've read the scriptures, and you understand that, you know, we can give these burdens to God, but yet He's an invisible God. You can't really see Him there. You don't always feel Him around you. We base so many things on feelings. And so it feels like that those are just empty words. It feels like it's something that you can't really do anything about with God being in your corner. You feel like you're by yourself. But you can come to a church service and there can be a great move of God and your emotions are stirred and you get everything in sync with you and the other people there. Sometimes there's things that where we can't get in sync with anybody because of the things facing us in life. But you go to church and sometimes there's that thing where you're feeling like you're just in sync with everything and you feel really good and you feel like you've laid things down. And you go home, and on the way home, you have an argument with your wife, or your kids do something, or you get some news about something in your life that just totally is still upside down. And the reality of life sometimes overrides what you have in your mind as what's real, and it becomes more of a fiction than a reality for you. Now, I'm telling you this because I've done those things in my life before. There's times to where I can go to church and it seems like I'm out of sync with everything there. I've had things in my life that just has totally just blown me away. One of the best jobs I ever had in my life, we were making good money during that time. We were able to buy new vehicles, or kids that were getting of the age to be graduating school, they were able to have fairly nice vehicles they could drive, and everybody in the family had cell phones, and we bought a house, and we were going through this. It was a new house no one had ever lived in, so we were going through the process of getting curtains and all the things you do to customize a home to make it homey, you know, the different colors you wanted to paint walls, and then, you know, you didn't want to move old furniture into the house, and so you tried to buy new furniture, and just all the things that went with that, and everything seemed to be going really well. And all of a sudden, something changed in the economy, and boom, I went through a very long layoff right during the time of Christmas, which I had worked hard enough that I looked at it like it was a blessing, not realizing it was going to go on from part of December all the way through to I think it was March or April. And then all of a sudden we get back to work. I'm within one or two paychecks of getting everything caught up, and seems like everything's going just well again. And I'm falling right back into my habits that I had established. And boom, we get word that on Labor Day, they've locked the doors. They've locked us out of our company and they're shutting it down. They're filing bankruptcy. And you think, well, that's just a job thing. There's no big thing about that. It doesn't really affect you. Well, when it affects you in a way to where it takes two jobs to make the same income that you made with that job, it's not quite that simple to overcome. When you have established your debt to your income, and then your income is gone, not cut, it's gone. And it wasn't just me that lost my job. There was a little over 13,000 people that lost their jobs. So with all these people out there looking for the higher paying jobs, guess what? There wasn't that many of those jobs out there. And so this was a transition in my life that went on for years to overcome. And it's still not totally something that we've overcame. So I understand how things can come up on you. Have you ever stopped to think about, they have all this Weather Channel thing now where you can look and they do storm stories. And you can see people and they get word that there's tornado warnings, and they've heard about tornado warnings before, and they're going about their business and everything seems okay. And then all of a sudden word comes there's a tornado on the ground. And there's some people, they're busy in their homes, or they're doing their daily things. The sun is shining where they're at. They don't know that just within 10 or 15 minutes that there's something coming their way that's more devastating than what they could ever imagine. They can, because we have a tendency to think that these things happen to other people. They don't happen to us. And so it's one of those things, it's an attraction to look at and see things that's happened past. And we're all drawn to drive into towns that are close enough where they've had a major tornado or storm and look at the what's left, the devastation. If there's something about that draws us. Joy and some of her friends, and they went to, I remember when it, I think it was the tornado that was in Joplin, and actually they didn't just go to look, they went to help as people were trying to piece together some of the things from their homes that were destroyed to try to put their life back together. You have things that are important to you. They're memories. You know, there's loved ones you can't go get a picture with again. There's your children are not going to go back to being small children again. You know, it's just there's certain things we hang on to, we look at, we put value to, and all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. And you hear these people that they saw it coming and they ran into their house and they get into a closet or they lay in the bathtub and they throw a mattress on top of them. They're all hanging on to each other. And then all of a sudden, the top of their house disappeared. They hear this sound. The wind is so rushing around them that they can't believe. And all of a sudden, maybe a small child or maybe their spouse is ripped from their arms. And they don't know if they'll ever see them again. See, there's a lot of things that, and there's a lot of suddenlies that just appear out of nowhere. There may be some sense of warning, as we saw with the Hurricane Katrina. But people in life, they have a tendency to, how many times have we heard before, oh, there's a hurricane coming, this is going to be bad. You know, you need to run for your life, run through the for the hills, and you're thinking, okay, if I'm gone, what's to keep looters from coming in if there is some damage here? You know, my family's been here for three generations. We survived everything that's ever come along. Yeah, we've had it happen before where they say you're going to be a awesome, horrible hurricane or storm or tornado come through and nothing ever happens. But then this time, Katrina came, and how many lives were devastated and changed when that happened? Just suddenly. There was a little bit of warning, but suddenly it was there. And there's still people trying to pick up the pieces of their lives from this suddenly that just showed up, that was there. And you know, I just, you think, well, you know, that's past. You're going back a long time. But we don't need to forget these things. Part of the process is we need to look back and learn as we go through things. As Starla said, shared at the first of the show, and as, you know, before we played these songs, there's certain things in life that we fall into habits of what we do. We are who we are. And even though when we give our life to God, He makes us a new creature, that sinful nature of man is still just barely underneath the surface sometimes, that it's so easy for us to want to fall back into things of wanting to place blame on others or wanting to lash out at people when we feel like we're being pushed into a corner, or we have this tendency to want to look at people who are always asking for help, and you see that the things in their life is what's conducive to the things that are happening in their life. You're like, ah, I just want to rip your head off and get you to see what it is that you're doing, you know. As I used to tell my kids, you need to stop and smell what it is you're shoveling. You know, it's just, how do you not expect things to be different? And so as we go living for God, it's just we forget that things like this don't just happen to people that are doing things wrong or doing things bad, and we want to judge. I won't ever forget when I got a phone call and turned on the television, and there it was, 9/11. It was one of those things that was surreal. It just didn't seem possible. Here we have these huge towers in New York City, and they showed it over and over again. This airplane coming in and crashing into this tower. And news is still happening, and they're trying to get a grasp as to what's happened here. And you see the papers falling out through some of the hose, and you see the smoke coming out of the tower. And you think, wow, what about the people who worked there? What about the people who had family that was inside that building? What does it mean to our country? Because our whole security was shaken as a nation at that time. We look at this and like, how could this happen? And while we were watching, another plane came in and crashed into the other tower. And it amazed me to see all the people. You could watch the shock and the horror live as this was happening that was there. And you saw firemen and you saw police officers rushing into this building. See, we always want to look at the negative things of life and look at things that are bad. And I understand that, you know, our whole country and our culture of things as far as like air travel and things changed so much based on what happened that day. But these suddenlies that come along and they impact us, do we ever stop to really think about what it is that's happened? You know, we sing songs and we read the scriptures where it talks about being purified in fire and being refined as gold to become pure gold. But yet, none of us want to go there. How many times do you go to church and where the Bible warns us that, you know, when we're coming into the presence of God that we shouldn't leave the same as we were when we came? And yet, while we're there, there's change. But when we leave, we pick up the same baggage we came in with and we carry it back out with us. And then we wonder, why is such a struggle Monday through Friday until we get back to church again on Sunday or maybe on Wednesday night? Why is it that the days in between is so easy to not realize that maybe you went from an addiction of where you looked at alcohol or drugs as a way to help you get by? And in today's society, what? We have prescription drugs that will do the same thing. It's just, it's a crutch to help us get by. It's one of those things that it's amazing if you stop and think about, what is it that you lean on? What is it when these suddenlies come along into your life? You know, I've shared with many people about the storm that hit Starla and I. We were, you know, I've had things in my life. As you get older, you can look back and you can see patterns that develop. You can see some things that have to do with you. And you can see some things to where God is moving things around to move us. I think sometimes it's because we don't take time to talk and listen to Him on a regular basis. And so sometimes these storms is the only thing that's there because He loves us to get our attention. And we understand that sometimes the storms can come along and separate things from our life that need to be separated, that can separate us from God. And then there's other times where these storms are of our own making. If you pour gasoline over your head and take a match and strike it, what do you think is going to happen? And we have a tendency to want to do those things. But it seems to me that sometimes when you look at things in church, that we've developed certain habits as a people to where we still can say the certain things and we can be really one of those people to want to bless other people with our words of knowledge and wisdom of how that God loves them in their time of storm and how God's with them and we're praying for them. But yet, when it's our turn to be in the storm, it's not quite the same, is it? We don't immediately take those things and go to God. We shut down and shut God out and shut people out sometimes. Or we're one of those people, we open up, we take advice from everybody and usually follow the advice from the wrong people, because it always amazes me. When you're trying to get a bunch of people in the church to sing, why is it that the person that's tone deaf is a person that's got the best set of lungs that you can hear without a microphone throughout the whole church? Well, the same thing comes to people that give advice. The people that want to give the most advice and want to be more involved with telling you how you should do things, most of the time it's the people you should not listen to. I don't know why it works that way. It's just how it is. But in looking at the suddenlies that happened there, I was reminded how, can you imagine what it was like to be Noah? Noah, he found favor in the eyes of God. But yeah, you think, did he really find favor? His life was, you know, one of those that God found him worthy to be spared, him and his family. And you think, wow, you know, Noah had his act together. But can you imagine you got your act together and all of a sudden God comes to you and he says, hey, I'm repenting. I even made this world and created people. And I'm telling you that I'm fixing to destroy this world. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a devastating piece of news to all of a sudden have launched into my life. And then God tells you that he's got plans on how to build an ark, and it's going to be a place of safety for your family, and it's also going to be a place of safety for the things that are spared. And so we know that this long time span went on, and they didn't have internet, and they didn't have cell phones. But as merchants traveled from place to place, trading goods for other goods, and then trading things for money in places where they could, word got out, rest assured, that people heard about this crazy man who was building a boat where there was no water, and he's telling people that it's going to rain, which it's never rained. You know, you're sitting there, you're trying to visualize something that's never happened. And it didn't say anything about Noah being an architect to understand how to work these plans and put these things together. It would be almost like going to a woman that's never sewn in her life and never owned a sewing machine and say, here's a pattern, and I want you to make me a wardrobe of clothes to help for this occasion right here in this color, and I want it to be in this style and all this. You may know from wearing these things a little bit about it, but there was no boat. There was, this is something totally different. There was no rain. Nothing in logic to be able to get a picture of in your mind. But yet Noah was faithful. He didn't just shut down. He didn't just get in a fetal position and like, oh, God's going to destroy the world and everything. He set about building the ark. A very long, 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 long process. And as people came along and they looked at, saw what he was doing, and they scoffed and like, what are you doing? And he's sharing to everybody, hey, God's going to destroy the world. He's going to do it with rain. That's water falling from the sky. This is your way of escape. The message never changed. Never. And yet, sure enough, one day, all the animals came, went into the ark, told his family, God told Noah and his family to get in the ark, and then God shut the door. And then we all know how everyone, can you imagine how many people were running to the ark and beating on it and saying, let me in, let me in? There was probably a few people that thought they could outthink the process. They didn't have to worry about, you know, anything like that. They just ran for the hills, thought we'll just get someplace high. The water's not going to come up this high, you know. We've never had rain before, but I don't know how this is going to work, but we'll just get up here. Others that maybe lived in the outdoors and didn't have anything for cover because it never rained. And all of a sudden they find themselves, everything they own is wet or cold. A few people may have started actually crying out to God at that point, like, Lord, help us. You know, what, you know, is this what this crazy Noah said true? You know, deliver us. You know, help us to get back to that ark, or you know, help us to survive what's going on here. Have mercy on us. But yet, that we all know the whole world was destroyed except for Noah and the animals that were involved with being on the ark. And we look at life and we say, well, I'm living for God. Everything should be going good. There shouldn't be these storms that come. And as I've shared before, God is not surprised by anything. It's not. It's amazing to me how that I didn't realize that even though I was going to church, I was faithful in tithes and offerings. You know, we were a major supporter of the church we were going to financially. But yet, in one sense, I hadn't totally surrendered everything in my life to God and just didn't realize it. Because I was doing what I'd seen everybody else do. You go to church on Sundays, you go to church on Wednesdays, you know, you sing, you take part in testimony service. If they ask you, you share a thought, you preach, you teach a Sunday school class. You're going through all these things. And, you know, in the process of doing things, believe it or not, it's real easy to get separated from God. Have you ever thought what it was like to be Joseph? You know, here he is, you know, he's the cat's meow. You know, it's easy to tell that he's dad's favorite. And, you know, he's having these dreams where all the brothers are going to bow down to him. And he's out there. And next thing you know, he had to suddenly come into his life. And here he is. He's been thrown into a hole. And the brothers are talking about killing. His brothers are talking about killing him. They take his garment away from him. That was his prized possession that meant of great value that his father had given him. And then they sell him into slavery. You talk about some suddenlies coming into your life. But yet, he stayed faithful in living for God. He didn't allow those things to make him bitter. He didn't allow those things to change his identity in Christ. He didn't allow those things to come in and shake him into knowing who he was. And that he believed that the things that he dreamed were still to be. See, how many times do we have things come our way? And you go to a doctor and you got a little knot or something, or you got a ringing in your ears, and they come out and they say, we did an x-ray and you got a brain tumor, or you got cancer and you've only got a few months to live. See, that's part of life that we don't like to look at. We like to look at the part of life of living. We don't like to look at the part of life of dying. We don't like to look at the part of suffering. We don't like to look at the part of the negative things that go on as the body gets older. It's just part of nature that God's put in there, that we age. This body that we're in now is not meant to last forever. You know, all of us are going to die one time or another. Well, except for those that manage to be here when God comes back for his bride. But we don't want to think on those things. And I wonder sometimes, because we don't want to think on things and we try to act like the things don't exist, that we don't put things in perspective as to how they apply to our relationship with God. Are we just going through the motions when we go through these things? And, you know, I try to look and see, how in the world did Joseph hang on to that dream? Here his brothers have sold him. They were talking about killing him. He's off in a faraway land. You know all the things that happened about the dreams and how he was able to tell people what they meant. Then he was forgotten, still in prison. He was falsely accused by a woman and ended up in prison. All these things that happened where God would give him. But he never forgot the dream. The suddenlies that came into his life did not affect that he knew that God had given him this dream. And we have so many promises in God's word that we can look at and understand and realize that God does these things for a purpose that's beyond us. See, he loves us, and he promised that nothing would come against us that we couldn't overcome. But yet he also let us know that part of the value of what we have is being a witness to him. It's not just being an overcomer within ourselves. As I was sharing with the people in this sermon, which I'm definitely not trying to preach here, I just wanted us to look at these things, discuss it. How many times have you seen someone go up to church and be prayed for because they got a migraine headache? And on their way back to their seat, you see different people holding up, I got this prescription for headaches, I got Tylenol here, I got extra strength, etc., and I got migraine, etc., and I got all these different things, because we want to help. But are we not leaving God out of the process when that is our response? At a place of worship, at a place where we go and we still ask if people got prayer requests, at a place where we go where people can still be anointed with oil, as it talks about in the Bible, and a prayer of faith shall raise the sick. See, I understand that sometimes in life that curveballs come our way, and that we do have to depend on medicine. We do have to depend on the things that God has established in this world with education to help us through situations. But in that process, you still don't separate God from it. Maybe I'm not making sense here. See, what's bothering me, and I say bothering me because I'm looking at things in my life, is how many times have I tried to be one of the two examples there, where I just kind of shut down in a fetal position, and next thing I know, I found that life has moved on, and so which means I've moved back, and old habits have come up, and then I'm doing things that God has taken from my life, where I've had consecrations that were put in place, and God was moving in my life in such a mighty way, and all of a sudden, you look around and say, wow, where'd God go? God's never changing. God didn't move. I moved. So you can position yourself in the path of God for his blessings to come. But yet, sometimes when things come against us, do we not ever stop and think that this is another blessing in disguise? We read about Job and you say, how can you come up with this type of understanding? But yet, Job didn't seem to have any problem with that, because he was so connected with God. He did everything he was supposed to do. And yet, you read about it in the Bible and you can see that God looked at Job as someone of great value, that he told Satan, have you considered Job? My servant Job, have you considered him? You know, you're up here accusing a lot of people about a whole lot of things here. And, you know, and I'm a loving God. My mercy endures forever. And this is my creation that has decided that they would rather fall after the things of sin and the things of that feed flesh instead of serving me and worshiping me and having that relationship with me. And yet, Job held fast. He was faithful. And even though we look and we see where he was blessed with twice as much as what he had before, it's still, when you think about losing children and possessions and things that were gone, and you stop and think, how in the world can one thing overcome another? But yet, as you get older, you look at life, you can see where spouses have been married for 25, 30 years, and all of a sudden one spouse is gone. And then you look around, and just it seems like 6 months to a year later, you see them with someone else. And I'm sure that their conversation is not about, well, Lucy did it this way, and Lucy did it that way, and Lucy did her hair like this, and Lucy knew how I like my collar starched and my shirts cleaned and my socks folded and all that. No, that's not how things happen. See, we sometimes lose the definition of what things mean. Have you ever thought about love? What does love mean to you? And I'm sure if you ask men and you ask women and you ask people of different age groups, different things are going to come up. Things based on lust and love and sex and relationship and warm fuzzy feelings and goosebumps and that funny feeling in the pit of your stomach, and maybe it's a knot in your throat or cold sweats and clammy hands and, you know, those things that have to do with some of the superficial things that we classify as love. Sometimes with me it can be just hearing a song. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about, wow, Starla. Yeah, that song makes me think of Starla. You know, it kind of brings her with me right there where I'm at. And so, when you think about love, though, is it something that you can go and buy? No, you can't go buy real love. You can't even, if you had $1 million, if you went out and you found someone that you thought was just totally beautiful, and you had the money to buy them everything their heart desired, they would love the things, and they might tolerate you to get them, but that's not real love. You can't buy happiness. We hear that all the time. You think, well, boy, give me enough money. I sure would like to give it a try. But you see movie stars and athletes and all the people that have fame and fortune in this world, even people who win the lottery and come up with these large sums of money, and then you look at their life later, and you're like, wow. How could this happen? What's happened here? You got all this money that you didn't earn, and are you were a prize, you know, athlete that's you're elite, you're at the top of the game, and so you get this huge amount of sign-on bonus and all this money that's coming your way, and you went from maybe living in poverty before there, and so it's all about showing that you've made it. You want people to know that you made it, and like y'all. You know you can run fast, or you have a special gift for being able to catch a football or throw a baseball or whatever it is that you do. But you don't want that to be your whole identity. And so now all of a sudden you're trying to branch out, and you're trying to change it with clothes, and you're trying to follow the world's pattern of showing success by the things that you wear and what you drive and where you live and what you have. But that's empty, because some of the suddenlies in life can come along like a tornado or a hurricane or a fire, or even worse, you get into a relationship based on things, and then divorce comes along and they take those things away from you in divorce. Then your heart's broken and you're trying to recover from the peace. All these things in life happen. And living for God, I believe with all my heart, it is to be a certain sense of practicality to being able to understand, to apply the things that God's given us to each and every situation that comes into our life. No, I'm not happy when I have storms come my way, but I've looked back and I've seen how that when everything was going well with all the money and everything, one of the things I saw was who my friends really were. You say, well, that's not important. I didn't really need my friends. Well, there's going to come a time where you're going to need people, and you're going to see who your friends really are. There's also, in that process, I understood the people that had value to my relationship with them based on what I had to offer, instead of based on our relationship, based on what we had to give each other, the support that we had there. It's not just being friends. I was able to see things in my life to where all of a sudden I realized I had nowhere to turn but to God. There was nothing else that I could turn to but to God. And in that process, I found peace when there shouldn't have been peace. And I saw miracles of income because I wasn't making as much money. And we still remained faithful. We understood that the tithes were God's. I wasn't going to steal from God. And we were faithful in doing that. And you could take a calculator to our checkbook to the bills that we had to pay and the income coming in, and the numbers didn't match, but the bills were paid. That's a miracle. That was something I didn't need to get into and dissect it and try to tear it all down and figure what God was expanding and what God was shrinking. I just accepted it in faith as to what it was. If I was barely getting by with the income I had before, which was a third more, and all of a sudden I'm a third less, and it's just, I just had faith to understand that God was doing. I didn't have to look and see, well, wow, all of a sudden my electric bills dropped down, and all of a sudden my water bills dropped, and all of a sudden, the gas mileage has increased on my car, and I'm able to do these things. All the things that shifted during that time, I gave credit to those things to God, because that's where I learned to lean on. And I'm telling people that we need to go back to the basics. There's a lot of different things in Scripture you can go to, and I heard someone say the other day, man, that people's preached about that giant and Samson and Delilah and all those things, Jesus walking on the water, and those are good things. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be talked about and preached and taught in church, but sometimes we need to look at the things that happened with some of the disciples. I've never been boiled in oil. I've never been threatened to be crucified upside down. I can't imagine having enough power in my life that they had to keep changing my guards if I was locked into a prison cell, because something that was inside of me was able to touch other people's lives in a way that I was praying those people through to the Holy Ghost, and their lives were changed based on their experience of being in association with me, because of God that lived inside of me and my relationship with Him. But yet, is that not what we're all called to do? To be able to want to run to the chopping block, like, Lord, if this is it, I'm ready to go. I'm faithful to run the race here that you set before me. And Lord, I give you praise in all situations. Can you imagine to be beaten and thrown in prison? Beaten. I mean, we're not talking just, little switch thing here. I mean, they used to beat people and thrown in prison. And there's huge whelps, and there's probably cuts in their flesh that's wide open and oozing blood, and there's no cot to sit on. They're probably in a floor, and they may have been even chained to the wall or to the floors. We don't know for sure. Their prisons weren't like ours. They didn't have a color television up here in central heat and air, and they didn't get this nice little orange suit to put on that was fresh cleaned and nobody else had wore. Here they were, probably no matter where they sat, where they leaned against, where they moved, they were in pain. And yet they sang praises unto God. And what do you see happen? God comes in, the ground is shaken, the things that bind everyone in the prison is taken loose from them, and yet they're able to be a witness in that process because they realize God has moved. And they didn't run for the hills, because I think they listened to God, and God told them, hey, stay here. Tell everybody else just to stay there. And then another household was brought into God's kingdom. See, when it comes to living for God, we forget the practicality of applying the things that God's given us, to understand that He will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. I believe those things. But yet, do I thank God for everything that comes my way? When the storm came along with the church that I was at, to where my work schedule had changed. I was gone a lot, and I'd been through a layoff, and here I was back to work on the same Sunday that the pastor had major plans for a kickoff service, and in my mind, he was being unrealistic because he wanted me to be there, because we had been the ones that were praying and binding together with him and all these things that were there. And I thought, just how unrealistic is this? I've been laid off, you know, and now I'm getting to go to work. You know, this is, I got to support my family. You should understand this. But, and so I put sleep above going to church. I was home. God bless me, I was home during that time. I could have been at that service, but I used that time to relax and sleep. And so it's easy to want to cast blame on that pastor for all of a sudden everything in my life changed because he felt like he couldn't trust me anymore. And so he didn't have a plan to use me for anything like that in the church after that. And it's really funny about perceptions when God finally had told us that it was time for us to leave this church. And I'm not saying that we weren't used for things, but it wasn't the same capacity and to the same callings that it was before. And looking at that, I wanted to judge, but I didn't want to judge me, and I didn't talk to God about it. It was just all about what I felt and what was logical. See, when you apply God to those situations, we forget what He's able to do. Because I ended up in a church to where I had even more responsibility, more accountability, and more things on my plate. And there were times to where I would work all week long, I'd be gone. And I'd get into the place where I worked early Sunday morning, which was over 100 miles away from home. And I would drive home just as fast as I could and have my wife lay my clothes out for me. And I would jump in the shower and I would get ready and I'd go to church. I didn't go to bed. I went to church. And man, I was blessed, and God was using me in mighty ways. And you think, whoa, this is what it's all about. And all of a sudden, I'm moving up into a place to where they're wanting me to fill in for pastors and things that are, you know, either sick or has to be out of town, or, you know, they need help in their church. And we were in a small church right there. This was a new work we were in. And all of a sudden, you see status coming into your life, and you see maybe a direction that's where things are going, and you say, wow, this is it. I've arrived. This is where God's wanted me to be all along, and I missed it at the other church, but now I'm at another place again, and I'm not going to fail that test again. And then, wham, another storm comes in. And I was so hurt again with some of the people involved, and I looked at things, and I tried to fathom how those things could happen. But yet, I realized that in part of that process of, I would talk to God about helping me for Sunday school classes, like I do this radio show, and I'd talk to God and He'd give me messages for sermons, and I would preach with all that I had. I would preach in a service. But in that process of establishing identity, I was going too far into things that were happening and things that maybe I wanted without asking God. And so the storm came along, and also my world comes crashing in. You know, you think, wow, I've done everything right this time. But then again, looking back, I can say, no, I really wasn't doing everything right. I had people in my life that I care about and love, and they told me that they saw some of the things that were headed my way at a time to where I could have done something different, and I didn't. And I saw that where there was things to where I put more importance on my abilities and my callings instead of talking to God about it and listening to Him. See, you can do all the right things in church, and you can say all the right things, and you can be used to teach and preach and sing and play music and all these things that go along with a church service. But if you don't talk to God about it, if you don't make Him part of the process, if you're not letting Him lead and guide you to where He wants you, because of His love, He's going to let a storm come along. And so now here I am in life, and you know, I'm going along, and I've learned. And it's one of those things that takes sometimes, I think, going through these storms to be content. I may not like what's going on around me, but I have content and faith in God to know that if I just wait on Him, listen to His voice, And I try to do things on my own. Don't feel like I got to try to manufacture something. I don't have to manipulate anything. I don't have to brag about my accomplishments. It was so funny. We walked into a church that I had not been in since I was a little boy, and none of those people probably remember me ever being there. I say little boy, I was a teenager. But none of those people would ever remember me being there. And I walk into the church, and the pastor acknowledges me as a minister. See, God, you don't have to blow your own horn. It's not one of those things of status. It's not one of those things that you have to try to explain what happened and try to justify things and the things that you want to do in life. You don't have to look for a quick fix with a drug or getting drunk, or you don't have to look for a quick fix in finding people who like you and think like you do and getting them to give you attaboys and pat you on the back and everything. That's not what it's all about. It's allowing God to use you to where you understand that His Word is just as real today as it was when it was written. And, yeah, there's some little nuggets in there that we try to dig up and we want to go into different things. But the key process is that people need to be born again. That's not changed. Just like it was with Noah, nobody knew what rain was going to be. Nobody understood what it was about this boat. Noah had never had a dream that he was going to build an ark that was going to be what saved his family. None of those things were there. And yet we live in a time where we hear people singing all the time that Jesus is coming soon, and maybe morning, night, or noon. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be all the things are going to be going on where people are going to be buying and selling. But because we've never seen Jesus come as what's going to be this time, we have a tendency to kind of go through motions of things and walk around things as if it's not ever going to happen. We read in God's Word to where He see there's suddenlies that happen that are negative in one sense, but yet you can look at suddenlies of another sense where the disciples were out in a boat in a storm and all of a sudden Jesus suddenly appears walking on the water. Wow, that's something you don't see every day. You know, to the point that they're like, is this really Jesus? Is this a, you know, fishermen, for as long as there's been historical writings, have always been people of great imagination. And I can understand why, because I have been at the edge of the ocean and not looked down in the water. Something about that scares me. It just freaks me out because there's too much unknown. And here these people are. This is where they were. They don't know if there's dragons under there, and they hear about big fish and, you know, some monster come up and ate somebody, and it could be just because of a storm, and then they got to deal with actual storms that come up out of nowhere across water. And you're like, oh, man, what is that? And yet it was Jesus. He came to them. And we can look through where Jesus, all the things that He did suddenly, where people were hungry, needed to be fed, and, you know, there wasn't enough money, and here's a little boy's lunch. And it didn't just feed the little boy. It fed everyone there that could be numbered as far as the men, and yet there was basketfuls of food left over because of the blessing God put into it. And see, we can go on down to, we talk all the times about rightly dividing the Word of God, how that, you know, we understand the Old Testament and how it was under law. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which was the life and times of Jesus, which was still under law. But one of the things you have to realize, and I don't think it's by chance where it talks about where Jesus was tempted, where it mentioned that being full of the Holy Ghost, how He responded. See, we have this thing where we look at suddenlies and we think of them as negative, but look at the day of Pentecost. And suddenly, there came a sound, whew, like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost came. It was to give them power to be more than an overcomer. And you look at their lives, what happened after that, and the lame were healed, and the blind was able to see, and they were able to, at times, pray for people who had died, and they came back to life. But more important than that, they brought new life to people by showing them the plan of salvation of being born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. I think sometimes we say of the water and of the Spirit, but it was of the water, that being baptized in Jesus' name, that was explained so well in the enactment of the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell. In the name, being baptized, born of the water and born of the Spirit. It was that Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. And God is still pouring it out today. But yet we have a tendency to want to talk about the being born again part, but we don't want to talk about, and we like to talk about the power part, but yet how many of us step out in faith when it comes to others? Because really, the witness of the Holy Ghost, where it's to be a witness unto Him, is not just in things in our life where we're changed, but it's mostly in being able to help change other people's lives. We have the power to loose, the power to bind. We can bless people's homes. We can bless their finances. We can bless their health. We have the power through the Holy Ghost. Everything we do in word and deed, we do it what? In the name of Jesus. And He's given us authority to do that when we take on His name in water baptism. We understand that back in the old days where the knights used to have the ring that the king had that they would go with, and they could take wax and they could put this on a document, and as long as they had that symbol, they could speak as the king. We understand that kings would send people forth as emissaries to other places, and as long as they had that signet ring, that meant that they could speak and use the authority of the kingdom that they were representing. And yet, we seem to act like that the things of this world are bigger and stronger and more important than the things of God. And then we wonder why we have to go through storm. And I'm talking about myself. Like, God, why am I here again? Lord, why am I going through this? And I was like, wow, how many times have I read about the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years and all the different times that God would move and then they'd murmur and they'd complain. And God would move and then they'd murmur and complain. They had some things that was pretty serious going on. Temperature so hot that when my son was in Iraq, it would blow up a can of tuna fish at night if it was left in his tent. That's hot to be out there all the time. Yeah, well, their clothes didn't wear out. Well, that's cool. I guess I had to grow with them. But, man, how would you like to wear the same thing over and over? And as Keith Green says, you know, they had manna from heaven. But, man, how much can you eat manna? And all of a sudden, like, I'm sick of manna. I love In-N-Out burgers. And when I was out in Arizona, I ate an In-N-Out burger every day when I was there. But towards the end of it, it was getting to where the In-N-Out burger was not near as good as what it was when it first started. And I think sometimes that we get the same way on the things of God. We get just a little bit, and we become satisfied without realizing that there's much more to that relationship with God. Because when I asked you before to stop and think about love, what does it mean to you? And I talked about, can you buy love? Love is a relationship thing. I love my wife more now than what I did when I first met her. Yeah, I mean, I could, you know, see her and all of a sudden my heart would skip a beat, you know, years ago, and it still does. And I could, you know, walk through a doorway and my arm could brush hers, and all of a sudden I just felt like goosebumps and my stomach had a knot in it and all those things, and it still does. But it's more than that now, the commitment. I know more about her now than I did then. And so I want to please her. I want to do things to show my love for her. I don't want it to be just a lip service thing. I may do something silly like call her and sing a song or send her a YouTube clip of a song that reminds me of her. Or I may sometimes be in a situation where I can't be home and there's just not even words to say, and so I may just read something to her just to be able to share time with her, just to be able to have her attention and to be able to hear her voice and to have interaction with her. It's one of those same things when it comes to relationship with God. Yeah, the superficial things are great. But in time and growing in a relationship, that's where love really comes in. To where when things are bad, I still love God. When there's things I don't understand, I still love Him and trust Him. You know, He lets us know that He's our Heavenly Father. There was times to where I can remember doing things with my dad that I was scared to death. But yet I knew that when I was with him, I was safe. I didn't have to worry. It reminds me of the story about the little boy who was on an airplane. It was going through the storm, and it was being pitched all over the place. And they put the sign on for everybody getting their seats and fastening their seatbelts. And this little boy sitting over smiling, looking out the window. And he's playing just like little boys do with whatever he had there available to him. And this woman sitting next to him, she's like, you know, aren't you scared? Aren't you worried? And he's like, no, I'm not a bit worried. My father is the pilot on this airline. I don't have anything to fear. My dad's not going to let anything happen to me. And so we need to have that same faith in God. And yet, not when things come our way that's a struggle, not look at it as God is punishing us and not look at it as something bad. It's something where God wants to show us again how we can use His power, His grace, and His mercy, and we can overcome those things not because of Him, but with Him. Not without Him, but with Him. Not like, oh, you give me all this stuff, and Lord, I've got this. With Him, that relationship. So anyway, I hope that something about this stirred something inside of you. I hope it was a blessing to you. And we're going to go ahead and turn on the microphones now. And Starla, just see if anybody's got anything they'd like to add.
Well, that was awesome. Suddenly, there's a lot of suddenlies. There's been a lot of suddenlies in my life, and God's been there for every one of them. How about you, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, thank you, Robville, and thank you, Sister Starla, because this is where this type of teaching is where we all are, everyone. There's no one exempt from the process that we go through. I mentioned to y'all when I talked to you earlier that I'd watched a documentary type film, and it said that there were 32 million people in the United States that were homeless. And as I watched the documentary, it showed how people, like Wild Bill was referring to, that they had a nice house. They everything was fine. You know, not their place in society. But the plant shut down. They lost their home. And there they were with a flatbed-like truck with a few things that they were able to salvage with no place to go. And you can't get a job if you don't have an address. And if you don't have a certain family, you don't have anywhere to turn because there's so many. And it's subtly, and these people, many of the testimonials, it was suddenly. Everything was fine, and then suddenly they were right at they didn't have a place to sleep. They didn't have any food to eat. And you wouldn't think that's possible in our country. 32 million. And it gave me so much deeper compassion and insight. I've always been drawn to that particular thing, you know, with the clubhouse. And I think our church has put together 500 packages to go into inner Jackson, inner city for during the holidays. And I love that. It's very, very encouraging to me. We are blessed. Our family is so blessed everywhere we turn. But like Wild Bill was saying, that there's nothing I could add to that. It was just perfect and beautiful. But we will have benefits from everything we walk through. The result will be a benefit, because if we don't run away and we face up to it and we turn to God, no matter what the problem, no matter what the heartache, the benefit is that we're going to be shaped and formed into the image of Christ, and we're going to dwell with Him eternally. Again, like Wild Bill said, God can, through us, reach out to others that are walking the same path. So thank you, Sister Starlin. Thank you, Wild Bill. It was an excellent program.
Well, I know he appreciates, you know, hearing things like that, the appreciation for what he does, the sacrifice that he makes. Do we have anybody that would like to add anything? Just press 1 on your phone and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. We have Wild Bill.
Well, I started not to even push the button since I did all that talking so long and everything, but it's one of those things to where, and I have people tell me all the time, they're like, you know, you're too transparent with things in your ministry. But I think sometimes that's how people learn, when they look at you and they think you got it all together. And you're like, well, it may have looked like it. And, you know, in practicality, it looked like it was other people's fault. But no, I was the one that missed the mark. And to think about, I always wondered so much, and it's like God opened my eyes to see how we look at things as bad when God is doing it for us. He loves us. He chastises those that he loves. But it's not always a chastisement. A lot of times it's things that we're just, I wonder how many times God has tried to talk to me and I've just been too busy. And he's like, you know, hey, I want to get your attention. I want to move you over here. There's something I have special purpose for you in your life in another area that I want to use. I'll let you go through these other things to gain some experience so you can do something else in another area. And I'm talking to you. Hey, I'm talking to you. And all of a sudden, he has to put one of them suddenlies up there to where all of a sudden it's like, God, woo-hoo, hey, where are you at? There's something going on. My boat's rocking. I'm in a storm. Where are you at? You know, you want to reach out then, and then it's all of a sudden there that, you know, he can speak to us. And it shouldn't have to be that way. It should be to where we have that contentment to know he loves me so much that he's with me, that he wants me to win. I mean, you talk about all these famous coaches that can go into a city where they got losing football teams or baseball teams, and a coach can come in and he can just tweak a few things and build some confidence in some players. And next year, you know, they're going to the playoffs or something like that. The Almighty God is on my side. Did we ever stop and think about it? When you think about, well, I really feel like wanting to pray for that person right there. I don't know who they are. And they got, you know, I can tell that there's just something really hurting in their life. And yet you're like, well, that's probably just me. Well, really? How many times do you just think about going out and praying for somebody you don't know? Yet God is trying to move us and put us in position. I can tell you, if I'd have been in that prison and God shut the ground and my bonds was let loose and the doors was open, I'd have been choking them people on hill dust getting out of there. The last thing I'd have been wanting to think about was ministering to the people that had me held captive in prison to where I'd just been beaten. But that's the part to where, how much of it did they see it more in connection with God, and they heard his voice like, hey, there's a work here that's more than me shaking the ground and some chains being loosed from your wrist and your feet. There's some souls that could be saved here. You know, just hang around here and wait on me and watch what we're going to do. Not what I'm going to do. We sow the seed. It's God that gives the increase. Noah had to build the ark, and yet it became his salvation through the flood. He had to be obedient to the things of God. And how many things do we take in God's word and say, well, I wonder why this doesn't happen anymore. Well, how much faith do you have? You know, how much faith do you ask for? Do you ever pray, God, you know, forgive me for my unbelief. Give me more faith. How much do we exercise that faith in those areas? To understand, and I may be totally wrong at this, but that scripture where it talks about that we should have power when the Holy Ghost comes so we can be witnesses unto him, not to him. We're being, to be a witness of God is to others. It's not just for ourselves. It's not just to be an overcomer. It's to go out there and minister to people. Let that power go forth in your life. We can speak freedom into people's lives. We can speak deliverance into people's lives through the authority that God's given us and the power of the Spirit. But yet how many times do we think, oh, I can't do this? I'm not sure this is God's will. You know, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, that was then. This is not now. I don't know. Maybe I'm beating a dead horse on this right here. But I'm telling you from conviction in my heart that I believe God's wanting his church to step up and do a little bit more than get excited on Sunday and then struggle all week long and then get excited on Sunday and struggle all week long. Well, we got children that's not living for God. God's saying, take authority. Speak life into their life. Speak salvation into their life. You know, let the angels minister to them. Pray that God sends someone to them that they will listen to. Let them be in a situation, Lord, whatever it takes, so that you can get their attention and they will listen to your voice. But yet, how many times am I content just to go to church and preach or teach a Sunday school class or share a testimony or play a rub board in church or play drums and like, we did good because we felt God move and, you know, people were shouting and worshiping God. But yet, we still have life to contend with. And what did we gain from that service that we went and shared with somebody else? Because as great as church is, God's power is meant to go beyond those four walls. And I think that's the key to what it's all about. So I'm going to shut up. I was real tired when I was doing it this morning. I thought, man, if I drag this on any slower, we're going to go back in time. But I do hope that it was the point to where people could actually understand where I was trying to go with it. So, I heard Blog Talk Mom laughing.
I thought it was.
I'm at the age right now, Wild Bill, and this is all of it. I like people to talk slow.
And I want to encourage people. I know a lot of people that listen on their phone. The music is not real clear, but I don't know what one of those songs I never even heard of before, and the Lord just directed me to it, and it just really spoke to my heart as to where God wanted me to go with the show today. So I pray that I did it in a way that touches people, and not just something where it sounds like I'm just venting on a tangent or something. So it's, that's one of those things that you just have to have faith in too. You know, I obeyed God, and God's going to have to work it into something different than what I could do on my own. But it's, we're living in a time that's different than we've ever lived in before. And you see people looking at that and talking about the strangeness of weather and talking about how things are a little different in the church services compared to what some things were years ago. And yet I wonder sometimes when we look at the things that are different, do we say, man, I wish it was like it used to be? Or are we doing something to, like, reach out to God? Lord, what's going on here? Is it me? Is there something in my life to where I'm not receiving like I was receiving before? We have all witnessed how one person could be a catalyst in a service and change the whole dynamic of a service for everyone in the building. And so in seeing that, knowing that, you know, we just have to make course. I'm getting old now. It's kind of hard for me to just want to get up and just do a whole lot. About the third or fourth time they got us jumping up and saying amen, I'm ready to say oh me and lay down on the pew sometimes. So. That wasn't supposed to be that funny, Blog Talk Mom.
Well, you know that you could outrun a chariot when the Holy Ghost gets on you.
Yep. Outrun a chariot, leap over a wall. You started to say something, Starla. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. I just thought it was all, what you did was really good. I'm hearing a really bad echo.
Also, y'all, since we're talking about going through storms, Mississippi is covered in tornado watch tonight, so I would appreciate not going through a storm if y'all want to pray that clouds will go away.
Yeah, I saw where Conway, Arkansas, had some tornadoes that were sighted around there earlier today, blowing some trees down and, you know, doing some damage. And, of course, that's kind of a tornado alley up in that way, but we got a lot of friends living up part of the country and up towards BB, so we definitely want to say a prayer for everyone. And just to be aware, you know, as we're watching these winds blowing, this warm weather that's just so uncharacteristic, because have you ever thought to be the day that God's coming back? It seems to me that so much anymore that people speak about God coming back and they're fearful instead of excited. And I thought, you know, there's something wrong that if I'm not excited with the prospect of getting my reward, there's something wrong if I'm not, you know, wanting to see Jesus face to face, to know he loved me so much and paid that price, and to be able to see him, you know, and just hear his voice direct, and to be able to be in his holiness and glory. And, oh, just, I think about that sometimes. Like, wow, it's just, I'm like that song. I don't know if I'll be able to speak or if I'll shout or if I'm just going to be just laying on the ground just in awe. You know, you just don't know. But there should be some sort of anticipation to think about God being here to reward us for the part that's been faithful and to finish that process, because I really don't believe that anybody's saved until that point that you finished your race. It's at that point that the process is complete, because so many people I know that are my age and older, they're still going through process. It's not ended. It's one of those things that continues. So, but Block Talk Mom, we are going to pray for you, and I thank you so much for what you add to the show. Even when you laugh at me, at least I didn't call anybody idiots this time.
I wanted to mention, too, while Bill, that, you know, we should do an echo right now, but maybe it needs to be. Some of the process lets us be aware of things in our life that we're just not aware of. And then we can repent of it and be forgiven and let God cleanse us from it. And, you know, I want him to do that. Like you mentioned that, you brought that out real, real well. But this week especially, I've been so aware that maybe I'm not grateful in areas that I've been so blessed. And I do thank you. I'm blessed to have you and Sister Charlotte. Love you very much.
Well, we appreciate you. We know that we got a prayer covering, and Mama's, that was funny when I had finally shared with the church about my little infirmity that came up during my MRI test, and people were all praying around the altar, and the service went on, and all of a sudden the pastor, he stopped, and he goes, God told me that you need to get your mama to pray for you. He said, folks, I'm telling you, there ain't nobody that could pray like a praying mama whenever her baby voice hurt.
That's
and
right.
He said, God just quickened that to me to get your mama to pray for you. And I'm like, of course, I think they were a little disturbed that it had been a month that I hadn't told any of them. But I didn't want to give, you know, you can give power to things sometimes by
right.
talking about it or acknowledging it. We can take our problems and put it on a pedestal before we realize that we've made it bigger than God. And,
right.
you know, because we don't see him and we don't always feel him. And so it's like, well, you know, that's all right for church, but in the real world, you know, how does that fit? And we don't want to act like we don't ever think that, but we do. You know, this is something I got to take care of. I got to do something about this. You know, this is beyond God. You know, I was like, what did I just think? This is beyond God? Uh-uh. No, it's that thinking process that we have that is so wrong that we have to put under subjection and let that part of us die out to understand that it's all in his hands. And like I said before, he's on my side. Now with a coach like that, if you lose in that game, you got serious problems. So, oh, well, I think I'm the one that's echoing up here. I'm on my car thing. I'm out here in the driveway. So I don't have anything else to add. Does anybody else?
I am really, really pleased with the broadcast, and I appreciate you. And I do know that when the storm hits, if we can't make it seem like it's not a storm. It is a storm. But when the peace speaker comes on the scene, we walk on water. we find that we have, like you said, everything we need to go farther than we've ever been. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, I like, and that's really good that you covered the other point of that. We don't want to give lip service to God, but we don't want to give lip service to our problems like we're living in some sort of fantasy world either. It's when we realize I've got a serious situation, but I have peace because I know my God's going to take care of it. And even though he may not take care of it in the way that I want him to, it's going to be for what his purpose is for my life. Even if it means that I'm to die, then I can know that my God has directed me to this place and it's my time to be with him. But yet, it's so hard for us to want to. We put value on this life and this body, and the older it gets, I'm like, man, I'm looking forward to getting a new body. I'm tired of this one.
Like the song, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people, you know, as you're going through life and you got struggles, you know, you may not have people that you feel you can talk to, but I promise you that if you find a quiet place to just stop and kneel and just talk to God and tell him what it is that you're concerned with and let him know that you want things different in your life. And I promise if you repent of your sins, that he will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, just like he did for those people on the day of Pentecost. And then you need to find a church that follows along with the rest of the formula that was laid out on the day of Pentecost, and you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. So you can't still have sin in your life. The water baptism part, a lot of people miss that. It was established for the remission of sins. So we can be not just putting them off from one year to the next or from one service to the next. God says he scattered them as far as the east is from the west. Though our sins be as scarlet, he'll make them white as snow, or white as wool, or both. But still, in this process, you have to make up your mind. Do you want to have that kind of relationship with God, a real love relationship where there's emotion that's involved in it and there's commitment that's involved? Commitment. That's a big word a lot of people don't understand anymore. You got to have commitment to that relationship to understand that there's give and take. God said, you know, come, let us reason together. He don't want us to put his foot on top of you and choke you to death. He wants you to have life and life more abundant. He made a way of escape so that when this is all over, you get to be with him. And there is no better place. I don't care if Elvis Presley was alive and he come up out of the grave and you had to pay $10,000 to see Elvis Presley. He ain't got nothing on being face-to-face with Jesus. So I'm getting too excited again. I'm going to let you guys go. But, Darla, I really do appreciate you managing the show tonight, and I love you very much. And I love you, Blog Talk Mom, and I thank you for what a support you are. And like I said, the prayer covering. And, you know, we're all in this boat together. There is no big I's and little U's. I can't push you down to get myself up higher. We're all in this together. And I just pray that God gives me that love that I can love other people like I love myself. And I can tell you that I haven't arrived there yet. So if some of you is in trouble and you is dying, and I had to die for you, I ain't got there yet. So you know I'm playing. But seriously, just to know that this is real. This is not something we're making up. This is not something we're making a fantasy thing out of. It is a process to get to where we are now, because wherever you are, someone's been there before. And God's always promised that he'll be with us. He's faithful. And I love that about him, that he's faithful to finish the work that he started in my life if I submit and allow him to do it. So, Charlie, we're going to turn it back over to you, and I'll see you in a little bit.
Okay. Well, I do love my husband. I love you, Block Talk Mom. I don't know what I would do without you in my life. You've been such a blessing to me.
Thank you.
And
thanks.
You're just an awesome blessing. And you're a prayer covering for our family. And we do realize that.
Thank you.
Well, we
want to
thank everybody. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I would talk more, but I seem to be echoing everything I say. But I do want to say one thing, because it went along with what Wild Bill was saying. As God reaches out to us in the times of our storm, and we all have them, his spirit reaches out. He doesn't cast people away. They have to reject him. All the way from the beginning, the Holy Spirit called Abel, but it also called Cain. But Cain rejected him. And he called Noah, but he also called the people of Noah's day. But only Noah didn't reject him and his family. He called Moses and he called Pharaoh, but only Moses followed him and Pharaoh rejected him. To the world and to those that listened to the broadcast tonight and heard the beautiful message by Wild Bill, God is reaching for whatever our need, whatever suddenly comes into our life, whatever storm, he's reaching to us for us to have faith by the grace of God and to not reject him, but to walk in that peace. And I do love y'all, and I look forward to next week.
Amen. Well, thank you for those words, Blog Talk Mom. We want to thank everyone for listening this week, and we'll see you here next week. At your place. Good night.